This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Nichols Family Lawyers. Family law advice for the LGBTI community you can trust. We have expertise in all areas of law relating to rainbow families, including surrogacy, sperm and egg donation agreements, adoption, co-parenting arrangements, and arrangements for children after separation. Mention Joy and receive a free 30-minute consultation. Find out more and get in touch at nicholslaw.com.au. Nichols Family Lawyers are a proud Joy sponsor.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family Matters.
I love that. That little giggle I can't wait for.
That's my niece.
It is your niece.
It is my niece. She's so cute.
Well, it is Family Matters. My name is Mama Mish. We got producer Gina in the studio.
The very lovely producer.
The very lovely producer. And Dangerous Dave on panel. How you going?
I'm doing very, very well. I'm so excited about tonight's show.
Really excited.
Like we say, love makes a family, and tonight, super love makes a family. We got a big family.
What's the show about?
You didn't get my email again, David.
Oh, Dave.
You're jet lagged. I still forgive you. That's all right.
It's co-parenting, is that right?
Yeah, something like that. Yes. You're still trying to find a date, okay? It's all right.
Yeah, hashtag find David date.
We're still further along, some of us, than you. It's okay.
It's Valentine's Day. So maybe we're going to ramp this campaign up.
No, don't get me started on Valentine's Day.
Ooh.
I'll tell you more about it after. I've got a real beef about Valentine's Day.
All right, sounds good. Well, if you do want to follow up and give us your thoughts and opinions, you can SMS us on 0427-JOY-949, email us on air at joy.org.au. You can get us on Twitter, Family Matters 94, Facebook, Family Matters on Joy, and I guess if you want to go and talk to Dave and you want to book a date, then 1-300-JOY-949.
So 1-300-JOY-949, yes. I'll go and answer the phone.
You'll race out and grab it.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's a great idea.
Sounds good. All right, Dave, you're running the show, mate.
Let's put a song on. Why not? You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
Family Matters at Joy.
Your voice, your radio.
Welcome back. You are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. I can't help but just sing along with that song, Gina.
That is such a
good choice.
It's such a beautiful song coming, you know, Valentine's Day coming up, and since Dave's such a romantic.
Happiness with you. Dave.
Oh. Hashtag find what?
I think to everybody, the only winners on Valentine's Day. Now, I know it's Family Matters, we're supposed to be all positive and happy about this, but the only winners on Valentine's Day are florists.
No. The only people that sell those gorillas.
Only
you
florists.
Know, giant
because everybody buys flowers. But what I think the true romantic, and I reckon everybody in this room now, we've got our lovely guests here as well listening on, everybody will think the true Valentine, the true Romeo, would be the one that buys flowers on a random day.
Yes.
Why do we have to suddenly choose February 14 as the day that I will pay attention to my loved one?
It is a bit of a crock.
Yeah, it's a bit of a crock.
No. I love the photos that have, like, instead of roses, it's like wrapped bacon looking like a rose.
That's better. That sounds good to me.
Is how you win my heart. Find me baked bacon that looks like a rose.
My advice to our valued listeners is, you know, to make tomorrow Valentine's Day. Go and buy some flowers for your loved one tomorrow. It is Friday after all.
Safeway's open around the corner. You can just go buy me some
tonight.
Now and buy me flowers.
Are you sure this is not some kind of weird, like, psychological reverse pitch to make sure you get a date before Valentine's Day?
Well, my mobile number is... I won't say online.
Well, if you do want to go and send a message to us, you can SMS us 0427-JOY-949. Email us on air at joy.org.au. Or you can call Dave on 1-300-JOY-949.
Don't be scared, Dave.
I feel like we got too serious there with my Valentine's Day beef.
Don't be scared.
I think you might have a fear.
Yeah.
I think you have a fear of dating.
Maybe you do.
Do you have any fears, Mish? You're so tall and strong, and you wouldn't have any fear. Nothing would scare you, would it?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, what's happening here?
Are we really going to talk about fears?
Yeah.
Yes, go on. What's
Achilles
your fear, Michelle?
Heel. Go.
Achilles heel?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, hold on.
Dun, 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 dun.
Whenever I take my children to a big event like a carnival or market thing or whatever, and they have the petting area, the children.
Oh, so a snake or a tiger or something, you know, scary?
Or slippery.
I can't handle rabbits.
Rabbits?
They're bunnies. They just got big teeth. And they just...
What a Bugs Bunny.
I can't. My kids hand me the damn rabbit and I'm looking at it going, No. I just can't.
Really?
So like, cute. Daddy, hold the bunny. No, no. It's fine.
You just what about trying to overcome your fears?
Give me the duck. No. Well, my ex went and bought a rabbit. Two of them.
Oh.
Making sure that when I come to the house that they always have the bunnies out on the floor.
Are the kids listening?
Possibly. No.
No. Are these the dead bunnies?
No, no, not the dead one.
No, dead one. That, you didn't go Fatal Attraction.
No.
Oh, okay.
I like how you ask, are the kids listening? Like, well, everybody listens to
there
our
was a
show.
Dead one.
There was a dead one.
We
I didn't these, want you
we got
to
this
replace
big
it.
Gray thing. They go, no, this is a mini lop. No, this is not a mini thing. It looks like a dog. All right? I can't. I go to pick it up and I go, I just get like the shakes and I start sweating.
Do you eat bunny?
Put it in my plate. I'll eat it. That's fine. You know.
Now, Gina, I saw something on social media during the week that you're trying to conquer your own fear.
Okay.
What
all
is
right.
it?
Yeah. You're all laughing. Everyone has teased me about this. I'm kind of scared of water, like deep water, not just water. Like I like water. I shower.
Sparkling water is my
scared
favorite.
Scared of water. No, look, I've got a fear. I don't. I have a problem with like dark water in the ocean. What?
I can't swim.
So what are you doing?
I actually can't swim.
She went to swimming lessons during the week.
I've started adult swimming lessons. And just like Michelle laughed at me, there were small children on the side of the pool pointing
please tell me
and
you didn't have
laughing.
Floaties on. Did you have floaties on?
Well, okay.
Oh, shit, you had floaties on.
Well, the last 2 weeks, okay, I had floaties the last 2 weeks. But I had a great achievement last night at swimming class. I floated without floaties.
Well done.
So wait, I got to ask, how deep's the water?
Okay, it goes up to my nose.
So it's like a kiddie pool to me.
Yes,
okay,
could
that
be,
sounds good.
Could so
be
0.6 meters.
And I was so proud of myself. Stop. You're all laughing at me. This is cruel people.
Oh, you just trumped me with bunnies. This is great.
Well, you know, we're in Australia and everyone keeps talking about how important it is to swim.
But people come from an island.
Yeah, they do. Well, we live on, my parents are from a beach and they can swim. I think my phobia kind of started when mum wouldn't take me to swim classes as a kid because it was all about the germs. Those germs in the pool. And I have to admit, I'm still gagging at the thought of how much water I took in last week when I swallowed water from the pool and had goggles on and could see all the germs in the pool. Okay, so I can't even go back to that memory. So mum wouldn't take me to the pool, but she would swim me out into the middle of the ocean because she's a really good swimmer.
As you do.
And you know how the lesson would start? So she'd swim me out and then let go.
I'll see you back at the beach.
It was kind of sink or swim. I sank and probably like drowned a couple times.
But I think the person you are and how resilient you are was from that moment of being drowned in the ocean. I think that's where it's all
well,
come
there
from.
Well, there was one more moment, and this might be the reason I might actually need therapy. So we used to go fishing a lot too because my parents bought a babies. And I was about 4 years old. I was on a pier. And I think my god sisters were trying to put my cardigan on. And while they're pulling me from side to side, I kind of toppled forward and fell off the pier, hit a boat on the way and broke my hand and ended up in the ocean.
I think it's really bad when you get by a cardigan and the instructions are in French or something. You don't know quite
dump
how to put
the
it on.
Child and to top it off, my parents didn't actually take me to hospital when that happened. Clearly I'm here. I'm okay. Somebody fished me out of the water. I can't remember falling into the ocean.
They just rubbed salt on it and that's all they've done.
Well, they didn't take me to the doctors. They actually brought what we call a Greek Maya over to fix my hand, which is a Greek witch doctor. And so I remember this really scary lady just like rubbing
stuff. Can I come to your house for like a family day?
Like everyone's arm is meant to kind of move, like clink to the left, isn't it? I think that's why when I was doing torpedo, I was moving to the left.
Mind you, the image everyone wants to see here is myself and three guests behind me are all doing that with their wrists going clinking to the left.
Everyone's wrist does that. Yes, no. Okay, maybe just me. Yeah. But no, I have started swimming lessons. I'm yet to step into the deep, deep pool. That is going to be the next couple of Not next. I should actually learn how to
float. I can't wait to interview your mom.
Yeah. Oh God, she doesn't speak the English very good.
Yeah.
But she's very sweet.
Well, I'm still alive. Let's keep tabs on Gina's pursuit for Tokyo 2020. But for now, let's
2024. Give me four more years.
Okay, four more years.
Four more years to build up the legs.
You are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Family Matters with any combination of Gina, Adrian, Michelle, David and Beck. Joy 94.9.
Well, this is Mama Mish. We got Dangerous Dave on panel.
Hello,
and now,
hello.
Dave, we have our guests in the studio ready to have a chat with us.
Yes, they're so excited. They look exciting, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Visually, for everybody.
Well, today we're talking about co-parenting. Now, I'm so used to co-parenting myself with now my ex-wife and myself being a trans parent and my two daughters. But now this is something a little bit different. We've always talked about donors and all kinds of stuff. So this is a bit of an interesting one. So we have Daddy Rob, we have Janet and Beck with us in the studio. I had to say it.
Welcome to Family Matters.
Hi, it's really just Rob.
I'm sure you're not just Rob. How did you three meet?
My brother and Rob are best friends from when they were little, so or one of their oldest mates. So I've known Rob probably as long as I've been alive because he's considerably older than me.
Oh, that's a harsh dig at you.
No, not really.
How did the conversation come up? What was it? Can you remember the moment? Of
Janet and Beck?
I turned 30 and I needed a baby and I needed a father for the baby, so that's how it came up. We said, who do you know? He's gay and has sperm. And Rob was pretty much it, I think.
Rob, the only option.
I have sperm. Yeah. Yeah.
I think we propositioned you across the road leaving a pub one day, actually.
They jumped on you while you were drunk leaving a pub. Will you be our daddy? Now, how does that work?
I don't remember the proposition so much, but I remember the dinner when we did it the first time or did whatever we did, you know, and we had pasta and I remember us looking for a shot glass. I asked for a pint glass for the process. Yeah, okay. That was involved. That's my earliest memory. Yeah.
And what were your initial thoughts? Were you happy to do it straight away, or did you have to go away and have a bit of thought about it?
I had no intention, thought. It had never occurred to me to have children whatsoever. I was too busy being a glamorous international gay man until Janet and Beck asked me, would we like to do that? And I was very honoured, and it was a big surprise. But I knew Jen and Beck very. I love their families, and so I don't know. In a moment of madness, I said yes.
So basically, there'd been a year of years of already a pre-existing relationship there, which made it more comfortable going forward with this process, obviously.
More Rob and I, because we'd known each other from when we were kids, but Beck and Rob didn't really know each other that well at all.
But you guys had been together, or you ladies, I'm so sorry, had been together for quite some time before this. And so obviously you would have trusted your partner's decision in this matter.
I was interesting because those two knew each other so well, we had the discussion, should we have a baby? And it probably took about 3 months to say, yeah, let's do this. And the conversation was so sort of leaning towards Janet and Rob that he actually thought that Janet was going to be the first one to get pregnant.
That's right.
And so the day that we were going to, you know, try and conceive, I'm like, okay, Rob, are you ready? And he's like, okay, so, you know, Janet's going to go there. I'm like, no, I'm the one who's getting pregnant here. And he's like, really? We had no idea.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to carry a baby.
So this wasn't a normal process of going in, doing the normal, what do you call it? Normally there's like counseling and all kinds of stuff involved. It was basically, we have a donor and...
I don't think there's a normal in situation.
No. I mean, we've heard many different stories, trust me, along the way so far. But what I'm finding most interesting about this, because normally a gay guy comes in, a gay guy's a donor, you very few are still involved. Some can follow themselves, well, I am a father, that they're not necessarily a dad. But what's interesting is you co-parent in this case. And how does that work?
Well, that was a really important aspect of it for Beck in saying that, because I was all for just having a donor because I thought it would be simpler. But Beck said, yeah, we need an actual father for our kids, and it has worked out to be the best. Initially, what was really good about it was that after a few weeks of having the first child, Rob could look after him and we could go out on dates. So that's one way that it works.
Nice. So your neighbours then?
No, actually we live together at the moment, which was not the big plan at all, but...
You were going to live in Carlton in somewhere fabulous.
I was living in Carlton somewhere fabulous.
Are you losing your international glamorous tag?
Oh, it's really, really gone down the gurgle, the international glamorous.
He lives in a cupboard, you know, below the stairs right now, and that's the truth.
Oh. Harry Potter has a larger bedroom than I have,
That would change. But the kids love that we're all living together. Like, it's not our intention to do it
forever. So is this a new thing, or is this something that...
About 3 years. It's been about 3 years. We bought a dump just to get Rob in the neighbourhood because the kids were travelling a bit too far. It just felt a bit wrong. Mm-hmm. So we're in the same neighbourhood and then the house next door came up and that's uninhabitable, basically.
Actually, yeah. Janet and Beck rang me and said, Rob, come over, we want to show you something. And they took me to this house and they said, we just bought it. Are you in? And I went, oh, shit.
Co-parents, co-tenants.
Mortgage.
How old are the kids?
10 and 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds similar to my kids.
So what's the advantages of having, for the kids, having three parents in the one household?
Rob's a very good cook, so that helps.
Yeah.
He's the chef of the household, so they're very happy about that.
Beck's the fun mum. She does the active stuff with them.
Actually... Normally, most parents have got the good cop, bad cop, but not generally have three parents. So where do you fit into the good
cop? I actually bring height to the family. I reach tall cupboards. Yeah. I'm quite hairy, hirsute, you know, the children like that. Oh, except on the top of my head.
It's just migrating down.
Yeah. Janet is actually the baker of the family.
Yes, I do baked goods.
And actually, Janet... is the fixer-upper of anything. Our children believe that men iron. Ironing is something that men do.
Yes. Yeah.
And I fixed the mower last week.
Oh, Janet fixes everything. And Beck is actually building our house.
I'm the butch one.
Yeah. This is I need to find a relationship like this. This is what I need. I'm currently a single parent with two children, but you have the vetting process is between my kids. They'll look at you and go, what's your intentions with my father? So this is fascinating. Does this put a damper on your Valentine's Day, Rob?
I can't answer that for you, Rob, can I?
I've been invited to dinner by a proctologist on Valentine's Day.
At least
I don't
he's a
know
professional.
If that's related to our family situation, but it will be entertaining.
Yeah, stay tuned for more. You have to give us a wrap-up of that.
Yeah. Seriously, though, I guess having kids does eat into one's social life as a single gay man. Yeah,
yep.
But so, you know, I had a very exciting social life. And I continue to, you know, but you have to make accommodation for your kids.
We'll touch on that in the next segment. But with where am I going with this? With decisions on the children, like schools, or you know, do they get baptized, or do they go to church, or do they play football or soccer or whatever?
I make all those decisions. Oh,
okay. Wow, you said that with such a stare to me. Very scary.
Hence, she said she's the butch
one. Bad cop as well.
I sense bad cop. This really is so unique.
Beck doesn't make all those decisions, by the way.
Yes, yes. Yeah. To answer, for me, when it was in terms of thinking about when I was invited to, I think I thought we shared a lot of values and we trust each other in terms of, I mean, we don't agree on everything, but we trust each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the soccer football thing was quite contentious, wasn't it?
Oh.
Really?
But we worked through it.
Well, I mean, that's like any relationship, though. I mean, but it's like normally, like in my case, being a divorced parent with, you know, my ex and stuff like that, it's, you know, there's the constant arguments or there's, you know, we found a way to work things out. So we've got a really good relationship. We co-parent very well. Hey, it's even though it's your weekend, you mind taking the kids, blah, 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 blah. You have this really fascinating dynamic that I'm picking up here between all of you. Now, you said yourself, Rob, you hadn't really thought about kids or it wasn't really in your radar or anything like that. But how have you changed having kids in your life now?
I think kids, for anyone, everyone change. It's probably the most challenging thing I feel like I've ever done. Janet Beck, how have I changed?
But how have you been yourself? Like, is it something that you yourself have gone, wow, you know, I could have almost missed out on this. This is, you know, relationship-wise, is this more important to you going forward, being as part of this whole unit?
Having kids is far more important. I mean, I had boyfriends and, you know, and I love being gay. Actually, I'm proud of being gay, and I had a great time, and I life changes when you, I mean.
Of course.
So speaking about boyfriends, have you had a boyfriend in the last, it's a silly question, but in the last 10 years or something with the children? Like,
not since moving into the tiny little bedroom.
Yeah, under the stairs.
Yeah.
If the stairs are rocking, don't come and knock in or something.
Yeah. I haven't. I mean, I've gone out, etc. But I haven't really had any sort of long-term boyfriend. But that's not only about children. I mean, other things happen in life too. Lots of things can happen. So it's not just about the children.
I'm very fascinated to hear more about this and how this whole dynamic works. You are listening to Family Matters. We'll be back shortly.
Hold tight. Family Matters will be back shortly, so don't go far. But if you do miss any of the action, our Family Matters podcast will help you get up to speed. Visit joy.org.au/Family Matters, your lighthearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Berrystreet.org.au.
It is Family Matters on Thursday night, your favourite hour of radio. I'm David, and if you want to SMS us, you can 0427JOY949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. Twitter is Family Matters 94, and Facebook is /Family Matters on Joy. We've got a message over there, Michelle. What is it?
Have you read it?
I haven't.
No, you haven't. Well, Dave, it appears that Find David Date is growing.
Trending.
Do you have a fear of growing, Dave?
I don't know how to answer that.
Dave, I just stalked you on Facebook. Ooh. Why are you single? You're a handsome man. If I wasn't with a handsome man, I would so be coming for you.
Oh, there
Sincerely,
you go.
Sincerely, Ed.
Oh, warms my heart. Well, talking about warming hearts, we've got our co-parenting special and we've got Rob, the glamorous gay or transitioning not.
Hang on.
Are you still the glamorous gay?
No. We'll just say Rob.
You're blushing.
He is blushing.
And we've got Beck and Janet in as well.
Now, I myself being a single parent myself, with my ex, we have found a way of co-parenting. As best as we can. And I do believe, you know, after some of the guests we've had on in the past, a co-parenting is I think, vital in every relationship, especially even if you're a heterosexual one-on-one couple. You know, you have to find a way to work together every way. Now, being such a unique thing, now this has been going for 10 years, this relationship. And in the past 3 years, you've been living under the same roof. Now, it really fascinates me because most lesbian couples I know who I have known and have met, this is from my personal perspective, are very protective of their private space, especially when it comes to a male interaction or involvement in their space as a couple. Now, how have you taken, I know you brought in the father of children and stuff, but this is very unique.
Well, we actually claimed Rob's space because that house that we bought and introduced him to, he was living in and we were living somewhere else. Oh. And then we moved in on him. So different situation.
And stole his bedroom. So now that's why he's living under the stairs.
We're just making you look more and more like a saint here, mate.
That's so true.
Oh, my plan is working. But Jan and Beck haven't told you. Jan and Beck bought a house. And then, Jan and Beck and I, we bought one house, the first house together. And then Janet and Beck bought the house next door. So that's the plan. They're renovating the house next door, and eventually they will move into that house, and I'll get my bedroom back.
Well, which is very important, you know.
Sounds like the block.
It does.
What's been some of the challenges of co-parenting? It can't have been all smooth sailing.
Do you know a kind of silly one is that sometimes, like, so we've started socialising together more than we did before we entered into this relationship. And often we'll be out, especially when the kids were younger, and realise that none of us were actually paying attention to them. So you think that with more parents, there would be more people, but we always assume that someone else has got it.
That would be hard.
So now we have a thing called PIC, which is the parent in charge, and that's what our children ask. So who's the PIC tonight? And then when they come up to us and say, hey, parent in charge, we just point at the other parent, you know.
See, this, and it is, works for them. This is something even like heterosexual couple friends of mine need to actually take lessons for, I swear to God.
I'm starting to think who the PIC is right now.
Oh.
Where's the kids?
There's a grandmother in charge right now.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Now, what I'm also more curious about, now, when I'm trying to introduce someone new into my life, and I'm very big on, it's not easy introducing a new partner or a new sort of parent into your situation. And with yourself, you two are a couple, but you, Rob, you're single. So when it comes time to bring in the next piece of this family unit, is there going to be like a tribunal that they're the weakest link could buy? How does this work?
I don't think my approach is probably any different from any other people, like for example, single parents. And I know lots of people who are single parents. I mean, our kids are the most important thing to me. So I just think if I meet someone, they wouldn't be coming into the house straight away. To be honest, I'm not in any, you know, I'm not desperate to find a husband, for example.
No,
I just
no.
Meet someone and see how it, take it gently and see how it goes, and then slowly, you know.
For myself, it probably sounds weird. Like with my ex, for example, whoever comes into my immediate family unit with me and my two daughters, I want to make sure that that person can get along with my ex. Mm. And that there can be, so when we have birthday parties or we have get-togethers or whatever, that there is a sort of, they can laugh and have an interaction and things like that, because we do sort of have a co-parenting situation. So would you introduce the person to the girls first and the girls would give you their feeling on the person, or is it like, are you like, it's none of your damn business?
That might be a question for Beck and Janet.
No, but it's not only a question for, I think even if you don't have kids, I mean, I had boyfriends before, and I really love my family and my friends are like my family. I would expect anyone I went out with to get on well with at least most, especially the children, but yep. And their mums and my best friends and my, you know, yeah. Mm. I can't imagine going out with someone who didn't like my children. <That's a shame.
laughs> You know, yeah. I don't mind actually shifting the focus here. It's always hashtag find David date, but we can always hashtag find Robert date.
Yeah. But I just find it interesting. I mean, you're going to be living next door. You're living in the household now. Like, it just seems like an interesting to introduce someone new. It makes it a little bit more touchy.
Can you imagine how it would be for that person as well, having to come in and go, here's Beck, here's Janet, here's our kids, here's my mom.
It's not like I've never met anyone in the last 10 years, just not at home.
No, but I mean, when it comes to that next step, like I know myself, like if my children would be like, no, I really just don't, I'm not comfortable with that person, I'm not comfortable with their kids, I'd be like, okay, well then door down, we need to kind of move that one out the door and go to the next one. So that would just because you have a very interesting, unique situation. Has there been something similar to this that's come up, like the family dog? I don't know. Like
also, maybe extended family as well. Their thoughts and feelings on it.
Janet?
I just think everyone loves the children. So they're kind of a centering point for everyone, if that's what you're asking about the, you know, extended family. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what people think of partners and things like that, but yeah, everyone loves a child.
Yeah. So. Like I'm thinking about my own family, and for them to get their head around just me being gay itself, for them to try and get their head around me co-parenting with a lesbian couple would be too much for them. So that's what sort of where I'm sort of
I could see coming you doing this. I see you doing it, Dave.
Where my question's sort of coming from.
So we're going to find you a lesbian couple for Valentine's Day? That's it. That's your situation. We need to find you a lesbian couple for Valentine's
Day. Well, there is a website, which we'll touch on later on, about co-parenting. So,
I think generally all of our families have been pretty wonderful,
yes.
Generally.
You know. Absolutely delightful. Christmas is, you know, three families. It's really wonderful. And, you know, one of them has a pool, so it's fantastic.
Oh, that sounds very good.
They're selling me on this so much more quicker, you know.
And now, the other thing about our lovely families is it's a big family. So our children have lots of cousins. Mm. And I think we have it's a generous view of family. I think it's lovely.
Now, we are speaking to co-parents here on Family Matters on Joy 94.9. With the birth certificate, what's the arrangement there for the children? Is all three names featured on the certificate?
No, that wasn't a viable option, I don't think. So it's the birth mother and the father. And all we really wanted, if you birth the child, you would name the child. So our children have different surnames, but they have the mix of all the names.
But
we haven't even explored the three parents on the...
Yeah, I thought that was the case. Our producer will do some Googling, I'm sure.
Yeah, we do some Googling.
Yeah, we would definitely do that. I thought it was you could have two women on a birth certificate but not three people. Well,
generally we have a family lawyer, one of our co-presenters, Beck. So, Beck, if you're listening, make sure you text in and give us the answer.
So who birthed the child gets to choose the name. Mm. So... both your kids have two different surnames?
Yes.
That's correct.
Interesting.
But so all of our names are actually on the birth certificate. The biological mother's name is the surname, but the other mother's name, family name, and my family name are both
within the child's
name. The middle names.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a nice touch.
Yeah. Because we thought a three-way hyphen or two-way hyphen would be crazy. So, one surname.
There's no hyphens, no.
So tell us about some of the family days out. What's the traditional family day out for you five, is it? Yep.
We tend to keep the family separate because they are very big families generally. So, you know, we'll have my family, we have Toll and Picnic, so you'll get together and play in the park. And Janet's family often, it's the footy. Isn't it?
The footy's always good.
With my mum, yeah.
Do you mean just the
five of them?
Yeah, just the intimate household.
Well, we do all different. Sometimes we do things separately with the kids, but often we do things together because we have mutual friends and we do a lot of things around the beach. Hmm. Janet and Beck are lifesavers and very athletic.
That might help Gina with her swimming issues.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay out of the deep end.
I'm really the vibe I'm picking up here is this situation can work. It can work for not just heterosexual couples. It can work for divorced couples. It can work for Rob and his harem, you know, it can work in all many ways, you know, like it really works out well. So we're going to explore this further when we come back. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
The kids are all right. As for our presenters, Family Matters, Joy 94.9.
We're coming to an end of another fantastic hour on Family Matters. I'm David, and it's a co-parenting special.
Are we co-parenting today, Dave?
We're co-hosting, but we can co-parent as well. I'm like, I would be a great father anyway.
I think you would.
Yeah.
Again, we need to find you just a pair of lesbians.
Find Dave some lesbians. Anyway, Michelle, start steering that ship back on course.
I think I've been told. Okay, so have other couples come to you and ask you questions around about this before? Maybe other lesbian couples, other gay couples?
I've had lots of friends who've wanted children and don't have a partner, or lesbian friends that may be thinking about
looking. Want to borrow
Rob? Yeah, well, he's already taken, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'm not a franchise.
So they've asked about how doing the same thing.
They have, yeah, and they're always like, what do you think? Should we do this? Should we do that? And it's really,
so what's some of the advice you give them?
I think the most important one is what do you want? Do you want a father for your child, or do you want to do this alone? And I generally recommend the more people that love your children, the better, is my feeling.
Yeah. See, my thing is, it's if you can have the parent involved, the person who donated or whatever, however you want to put it, I just think it's going to add so much more to your family. So much more culture, so much more just excitement. Gives you a breakaway. Mm. You a breakaway. God, I need this. Mama Mish is jealous. Do you have a contract in place in case something were to happen?
We don't have a contract in place. We kind of say we came from a place of common values, and it's never been a conflicted relationship. It's not like we were a couple that has separated, so we don't need something to divide up like that. Or, you know, it's often people assume if you say you've got kids and then you've got a female partner that you once had a male partner, and so we didn't start like that at all. I think we've just the common values, and I think we've kind of remained open. So we didn't say we're going to have a child and at the age of one it's going to do this and at the age of two it's going to do that. So we've kind of remained open to things as they happen.
In a lot of ways, when you look at it, what I'm looking at, it's almost like a marriage of two, a marriage of a couple with a third. It's almost like a three-way marriage in a lot of ways. It's around your values, around your...
Yeah, I've got two wives without the benefits.
Yeah. I think you've got two benefits.
I do have lots, yeah.
And Rob does all the cooking.
Yeah, and someone to mow the lawn.
Now, speaking about potential divisions, Beck, you're a mad footy person. Oh, Janet is the mad footy person. Football teams for the kids?
Well,
surely that's going to be
a heated discussion. Bigger than religion in Victoria. I mean, yeah, it is. Come on.
My mother is a big footy fan, and so she's kind of given the kids lots of memorabilia and paraphernalia, and I think you support the team that you actually go to see.
Yeah,
so,
which team is it? Which
St Kilda.
Is it? Oh, okay. Well, no one really hates St Kilda. No one really likes St Kilda.
Yeah, it's kind of in between.
Inoffensive.
I mean, if he was a Collingwood supporter, I mean, it would just kill the whole thing.
Yeah, it would. We do have a message here. Hey, guys, love, Joy, just say hi from Wellington, New Zealand. We're going international tonight.
And we are.
On our co-parenting special.
Now, this is a thing that I wish that some of our polys can listen to. Because when you look at so many examples of heterosexual couples who break up after 72 hours, who can't even agree on co-parenting with their own children, who can't even come into the front driveway when they break up to pick up their child or even have nice relations. This past Christmas myself, I went to my ex's house, to her family's house, and they have sat me down, gave me dinner, and we all interacted with one another. They're still struggling. I still call me Daniel instead of Michelle, but we're getting there. But if they could come and peek into the window of your family and see this family unit working together, why can't we have, you know, same-sex marriage? Why can't we have the same rights as these other couples who don't have the same values as each other when they're coming together, other than they stuck someone's doodle in a cha-cha? I mean, and they made something, and they ended up another human being without even discussing what they were going to do.
Yeah, well, that's it. You can't just kind of fall into this, can you? So there is generally thought that goes into it.
Yeah, most definitely. This can't just happen. Mm. You know, look, 10 years now, and this is going on. I mean, sorry to break it to you, mate. You're married to these women.
I think I'm pretty lucky.
You are pretty lucky.
I think you are, definitely. Well, we are running out of time. We only get 60 minutes when we really needed about 90 or 120.
And I'm trying to think of, like, where do I go with it? There's so many questions, even myself.
I think we might move in for a week and find out exactly how your co-parenting situation works.
I'll come help you cook, mate. We're good. All right.
It has been great having you, Rob, the biological father. And we've got the two lovely mums in Beck and Janet. No worries. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. Family Matters, Joy 94.9, Michelle and myself, Dave, and we've got Gina back on the mic now.
And now I've got two more lifeguards, two lesbian lifeguards, take me swimming. Yeah!
I reckon you might.
I think she's going like, some mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
Well, I think there's only one thing better than surviving in a pool is spending your Sunday on a picnic rug.
There is an amazing picnic for our favourite families, our rainbow families, this Sunday. People, please get yourself to Richmond, because some of our favourite guests that have come on this show, look, everyone's our favourite guests, but the Proud to Play boys are going to be
James
there.
And Ryan.
They're going to be doing some entertainment for the kids.
I heard Jessica Walton's going to be reading her book.
Yes. Introducing Teddy.
And we've had Jessica on this show. There's also going to be another author, Jess, who's written a new book, Enid and Her Two Mums. So they're going to be doing that. The best part is we've met some of the kids that went to Canberra and, you know, petition about the plebiscite. So there's going to be kids making speeches that were part of that campaign. They're going to be there. There's going to be live music. There's going to be picnic rugs. There's going to be play equipment. There's going to be
It's wheelchair accessible
sunscreen, hopefully.
As well.
It's wheelchair accessible. Yes. There's an activity kind of area.
I tell you, all these family groups that we've been interacting with and going out, and I've been going to a fair few different ones for the different groups. They're amazing. The kids all getting together. They've got similar families. They've all got similar issues themselves, whether they're trans, they're gender diverse, straight, whatever.
But this is, you know, this is Rainbow Families Victoria. This is their picnic. It gets bigger and bigger each year. So thank you, Rainbow Families Victoria. You do an awesome job. And this is actually a good opportunity. If you are thinking of starting a family, you don't know where to start, go and make some friends. It's going to be no harm. See what it's like to be around kids. You might not like them. You might decide to get a pet instead, you know? Like, what a great opportunity to go and find out, like, our gorgeous co-parents. I mean, if only people could see the energy that the three of them had when they came in the studio, and you go, it just makes sense. It just makes sense.
Now, just remember, this is a team that defeated the plebiscite. Like,
yes!
They're going to do a picnic, and they're going to do it well.
Oh, they are at Barclay Gardens from 12 to 3 p.m. Please go and join them. Join their Facebook page. Share the love. Become a member. No, it's very cheap.
We're all going to try and be there if we can.
I'm going.
If anybody's bringing Brie, I'll be there.
I'll bring Brie from Chicks Talking Footy. No, the other Brie. Okay.
Hello to the CTF gang out there as well.
They're doing an awesome job at the moment with the women's football.
Oh,
so proud.
Yeah, I know. But where's Geelong? But anyway, they're not in it yet.
we've run out of time.
Now, we're almost Mardi Gras.
Oh.
Mardi Gras coming up.
Well, so, I can't afford it, but maybe I should just donate to Joy and I might win a ticket.
You might. You might.
How much do I have to
spend? $5 minimum.
There you go.
I'll put 10, two entries.
And
right
Virgin
there.
Airways will fly you there. GoGet will drive you around and Airbnb will keep you somewhere safe.
And you can come join me and just watch me as they wave to you from the float.
Thanks for that.
Just rub it in. You know what? Yeah. I might just spend my whole Valentine's Day at home eating ice cream.
Well,
with
I'm
your
gonna...
two lesbians.
No, they're mine. I'm going swimming with them. I'm sorted now. I'm going in the deep end. See you later, Big Daddy.
This was another edition of Family Matters. Get to the picnic on Sunday at Barclay Gardens. Oof. I'm Dave. You're Michelle. That might be Gina. Good night.
You've been listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.